We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Do you have power yet? There are still many people in the New Orleans metropolitan region as we sit here 5 days after Hurricane Zeta. And those people still don't have power. I know Entergy has said, whether it's Jefferson Parish, whether it's Metairie, Kenner, or over on the West Bank, or whether it's here in Orleans Parish in New Orleans, they're hoping by today or tomorrow they get everybody restored when it comes to their power, when it comes to their electricity. There's a couple of places I saw Wednesday, and that would be something, a whole week being without power, without electricity. But it's wild. I noticed on Facebook, some of my Facebook friends, you know it, when they get power back, they let everybody know, hey, we got power. And again, they hope to have everybody up and running. The latest date I saw was Wednesday. So they're saying if you don't have power, you should get it back at some point today. Or if not today, tomorrow. And there were a couple of places I saw that said Wednesday, including Coleman, where you live over on the West Bank. There are some people in Marrero that still do not have power 5 days after Hurricane Zeta.
There are three houses on my street across the street that still don't have power for some reason. And I have power. Everybody on my side of the street still has power, but three houses across the street from my house don't have power for some reason.
It's wild how that works. And tomorrow is Election Day.
Finally, get that out the way.
Well, Coleman, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, she's saying that voter suppression is happening because at some of the polling places, there are power hasn't come back on yet. And she's saying that this is voter suppression.
So the hurricane.
Yeah, maybe Zeta's a racist.
Voter suppression.
With just 2 days before the presidential, or 1 day now before the presidential election, a war of words developed between some city of New Orleans leaders and the Louisiana Secretary of State. And it has to do with getting electricity going at those polling places that have been impacted by Hurricane Zeta. And a massive effort is underway to restore the electricity to all of Southeast Louisiana, but some confusion is leading to accusations of voter suppression.
Accusations?
Yeah, it's our mayor. I mean, it's Letaxa Cantrell. Take that for what it's worth. Some 500 polling places in southeast Louisiana are believed to be impacted by the hurricane. Entergy pledges to have those locations fully powered by tomorrow, Election Day, or at least supply the resources to get them online.
Hmm.
So evidently Entergy's saying, look, we're gonna get power back over here, but if for whatever reason we don't, we will do whatever it takes to supply the resources so there will be power here so you can come and vote. Quote, whether they be portable generators, lighting, fans, so on and so forth, we will have the minimum necessary electricity to provide the ability to power the vote wherever they may be, said the CEO of Entergy Louisiana, Philip May. Because yesterday, New Orleans Mayor Letaxa Cantrell, her office issued a statement saying the Louisiana Secretary of State, Kyle Ardoin, was refusing to provide support for generators to power in as many as 11 polling sites, which still may be without electricity tomorrow. And the vice president of the New Orleans City Council, Helena Moreno, I don't want to sound like a gringo. It's Helena Moreno. Helena Moreno added her own statement saying that the city of New Orleans will confront and counteract voter suppression.
Okay.
So you've got the mayor, our tax cheat of a mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, and you've got the vice president of the New Orleans City Council, Helena Moreno. They're all talking about fighting voter suppression. I mean, we just had a hurricane that put over 500,000 people out of electricity, out of power.
Yeah, they make it seem like switching on the power is just as easy as switching on a light switch. Like Entergy could just do it at any time, in any place. I think they fail to realize that a lot of the power is out, not necessarily because, you know, just down power lines, but there's a lot of debris. There's trees that fell over, knocking other houses down and stuff like that. They actually have to assess the damage. They can't just like, all right, let's move this tree. Like Entergy has to call another source to move some of the debris so they can get to the power lines and all the places where electricity is cut off. So they can't do everything themselves. So it's more than just, you know, oh, let's switch the power on. Boom, there it is.
So the Secretary of State here in Louisiana, Kyle Ardoin, was not happy about being accused of trying to attempt voter suppression. He said after the mayor and the city councilwoman said what they said, the Secretary of State issued his own statement saying that Letaxa Cantrell and Helena Moreno were grossly misinformed or maliciously attempting a Putin-esque spread of misinformation. Wow, they keep comparing our mayor and the vice president of our city council for being Putin-esque. Because we all know the leader of Russia interfered with our last election, and he's trying to do the same with this election as well.
This is why politics is crazy. Dude, that's an over-exaggeration. I'm not saying I'm necessarily a fan of the mayor because of all the COVID rules that she's putting on the city. But, dude, it's different from being Putin-esque to just saying, hey, I think this voter suppression is ludicrous. But, wow, that's a stretch. Politics is crazy, man. The Putin-esque.
Well, hopefully tomorrow. Yeah, that's great, huh? I mean, I've heard our mayor, the tax cheat, Letaxa Cantrell, I've heard her called several different things. And I've heard Helena Moreno, the vice president of the New Orleans City Council, I've heard her call seven things. By the way, she is very, very attractive.
She's a babe.
Helena Moreno. I've done a couple of things with her. I've showed up at a couple of places that she showed up at. And
on purpose? Like you were stalking her?
Yeah, well, one time, no, I wasn't stalking her, but one time we did that show, Politics with a Punch, together.
I remember that.
We were on the same panel, and we were talking before the show started,
mm-hmm.
and I said, look, I disagree with you politically on pretty much everything. I said, but man, you look fantastic. And she said, well, thank you. She goes, and I disagree with you on pretty much everything as well. I said, hey.
And that was it? You didn't get a phone number? You didn't tag out?
No, she's with someone.
Oh, boo. You was that close, John.
But when I did hang out with her backstage, I didn't sound like a gringo and call her Helena Moreno. I saw her. I said, Helena! Helena Moreno! Helena Moreno! But she's teamed up now with the tax cheat of a mayor here in New Orleans to accuse the Secretary of State of voter suppression in the wake of Hurricane Zeta.
Because he has a weather machine in his basement.
Yeah, when it comes to some of the polling places being without power. And then when he heard that, he said that they are Putin-esque. I think Putin-esque, that's... could be the word of the day here in the city of New Orleans. I've heard those women called lots of things. Never Putin-esque. Hey, coming up on the show, Saturday night, Bourbon Street was alive, more alive than it's been in, 9 months? And so was Frenchman Street as well for Halloween. People were out. Hey, in the latest on that New Orleans cop who was shot in the face by the man who was riding a pedicab. You know, people ride pedicabs all the time here in New Orleans. It's a nice, relaxing ride on the back of a bicycle on a large seat. Maybe you and a loved one. But this past Friday, this one guy with obvious mental illness, people we used to call nuts, he was riding a pedicab and he just pulled the gun out and shot at a New Orleans cop, shot him in the face right through his front windshield. Pedicab driver just took off. Well, what would you do if you were driving that pedicab? We'll give you the latest on that coming up. A lot to do on the show today here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. So some weekend in New Orleans with Halloween on Saturday night and still a lot of the region without power because of Hurricane Zeta. I'll tell you, the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, was nuts. There was a lot of people out. I bet you our tax cheat of a mayor, when she found out about that, was not too happy about it. But even over on Frenchman Street, it was a lot of people over there, as people, even though it's still not legal to go into a bar and sit at a bar and drink. There were still people all over the place this past weekend enjoying and celebrating Halloween. And when it comes to the power, we mentioned it earlier at the start of the show. Many people have gotten their power back, but there's still a bunch of people who don't have their power. And Entergy says that today or tomorrow, pretty much everybody should have it back. There was only a couple of areas where I saw Wednesday, and that'd be a full week, 7 days since Hurricane Zeta. But they're working. They're doing the best they can. But it was a, you know, as someone who lives in the city, I haven't seen the city of New Orleans that many people running around having a good time in the French Quarter since the whole coronavirus situation started. What, 9 months ago?
Yeah, so when you saw that, were you concerned or did you feel like it was like good, like we're going back to normality? Because, it was Halloween. I had a few drinks with some friends. And to be honest, the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday, the whole weekend, it did not feel like we was in any kind of phase. It felt free. And, you know, during the weekend, it felt great just seeing people, having like a normal time, eating, you know, hanging out. But then, you know, you wake up Monday morning like we did today. It's like, whoa, did we just make a mistake? Were we super spreaders? It has that concern. Like, did we mess up? Like,
We'll know in a couple of weeks.
But it did feel great just to have a normal New Orleans weekend, you know?
Yeah, and I think the word is normalcy, not normality.
Okay, that one too.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out, Coleman, in a couple of weeks. You know, if all of a sudden there's a bunch of new cases of coronavirus, we'll find out. But I've lived in the city almost 13 years now, and during coronavirus, this just hasn't been New Orleans for the last 9 months. I mean, when you can't go into a bar to sit at a bar and have a drink and listen to music and enjoy live music, you can't see live music anywhere. I mean, those two things right there, the live music and the enjoying of a drink or two or three, those are right at the top of the list of what New Orleans is known for, is what we're famous for, is why over 10 million people a year, well, before this year, came to this city. Those are two things that they do, that people enjoy doing, and you just haven't been able to do any of that for 9 months. So this past weekend, it was really cool to see New Orleans looking like her old self, at least a little bit.
And do you hear any cases of anybody getting any citations for not wearing a mask over the weekend? Because it seems like that was pretty lax as well. You know, when you're walking around the city, you're like, oh, no, you know, the task force is going to come out. They're going to be handing out tickets if they see people drinking on the streets, because you can't sit at the bar, so they have to drink while you're walking. But I haven't heard any cases of people getting citations either. So I think they really relaxed this holiday weekend.
I haven't read anything about the rat line being called and the New Orleans police coming out and giving people citations up to $500. For not wearing a mask. But what I noticed was most of the people were outside on the streets, and even though it was a little bit chilly, people were just outside enjoying the Halloween weekend. And outside, that's the safest place to be when it comes to coronavirus. And they say it spreads a lot easier when you're inside. So we'll see now how long it takes for all of a sudden to get to whatever the hell we're at, 3 point whatever, where bars can open and people can actually go in and sit at a bar where bars can open and a band can actually play. I don't know when that's going to happen.
I don't either.
I see this. I mean, coronavirus is going to be here next year just because we're 7.5 weeks away from 2021. Doesn't mean we're 7.5 weeks away from everything getting back to normal. I'll be honest with you. I mean, coronavirus is going to be here for next year. It's going to be here in 2021. I mean, even if they come up with a vaccine, how many things, Coleman, do they already have vaccines for and people still get sick and die from it? I mean, the flu.
Yeah. Well, you know, the conspiracy theory is that the coronavirus is going to disappear Thursday. after the results come.
But Thursday?
Yeah, this week.
After Election Day? Well, Election Day is tomorrow. Talk about a little of that coming up, because there are different cities that are worried that they've got extra police that they're going to have out. They think there's going to be unrest. And I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow night, because I'm already reading that there are some cities that said, we're not going to get mail-in votes back until after Election Day, till Wednesday and Thursday. So it's gonna go on a few days after tomorrow. Jesus. But boy, oh boy, at this point, I just wish, because they have everybody wearing masks anyways. We know who is affected by coronavirus the most, and it's the elderly, it's the already sick, and it's the obese. I mean, those people have to watch out on a daily basis anyways.
Yeah.
I just think, since everybody's wearing masks anyways, it's time. Just, you got to let the businesses open up again. And again, no matter how many millions of people our experts are telling us have had coronavirus here in the United States, you could multiply that by 5, maybe even 10 times. Because I think the majority of the people that have had coronavirus, they never went to get tested or checked out, or they felt like crap for a few days, and then they were better.
Well, concerning unrest, this texter said that the Department of Defense has 5 buses here. I'm guessing that's 5 buses of people, like a riot squad or something, I'm assuming. And this other text says, concerning normality and normalcy, Coleman, taking English lesson from Johns is a bad idea.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for the text. We appreciate it. All right, coming up on the show, the Saints got a win yesterday, and it looked like they blew it. How do you blow a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go? Well, the Saints did, but then they came back, and they won in overtime. Stay tuned for that. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. New Orleans native rapper Lil Wayne has endorsed Donald Trump. He endorsed President Trump. And the rapper is praising the president for lowering the cost of prescription cough syrup. That's why... He's really digging Trump, and he's taking a lot of heat for endorsing President Trump. Who was the other rapper? He said he was for Trump, and then he took a lot of heat. Oh, 50 Cent. Yeah, he's saying that he was for Trump, and then a lot of people gave him crap, and he goes, oh, screw that guy. I'm not for him.
No, he got a call from his ex, Chelsea Handler, and Chelsea Handler said, hey, look, don't do that again.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, 50 and Chelsea Handler used to date, so when 50 made his comment, Chelsea Handler called him. They had a quote-unquote conversation. That's when 50 came back out like, yeah, no, screw Trump.
Well, at least he still got Lil Wayne vote for the whole prescription cough medicine thing. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Good day yesterday for the Saints. They went up to Chicago and they beat the Bears in overtime, 26-23. I mean, the Bears, they have a winning record, but they have one of the worst offenses in the league. Their offense is horrendous. And they have a really good defense. And that's what keeps them in in these games. But what was frustrating yesterday, the Saints, with 3.5 minutes to play, they had a 10-point lead. And they blew the 10-point lead in the last 3.5 minutes, and they ended up winning the game in overtime. So it was a good win. Did you see the reserve wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, Javon Wims, got thrown out of the game for sucker punching one of the Saints players, their defensive back, C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Hi-ya!
Yeah, evidently, C.J. Gardner-Johnson did something to another Chicago Bears wide receiver, Anthony Miller. He got in his face, and did he touch his?
Yeah, he stuck his finger through his helmet, like almost where his chin strap is, and I guess sort of like either put his finger in his mouth or try to disengage his chin strap. He did something. He poked his finger, talk about the Saints player, he poked his finger, Gardner, into the Chicago Bears wide receiver's mouth or helmet or something.
And so after that happened, a different Chicago Bears player, Javon Wims, walked right up to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and he punched him in the helmet.
Hi-ya!
And then he punched him in the helmet again. I guess they were sucker punches. I mean, he's wearing a helmet. I don't know how what you're going to do to somebody who's wearing a helmet and you hit him in the head.
I'm quite sure he's feeling his knuckles swole right now as we speak. He probably has his hand in the ice bucket.
But that got Javon Wims ejected from the game. You know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he's the player, he's the Saints player, that Michael Thomas punched during practice.
Hi-ya!
That got Michael Thomas suspended. And by the way, Michael Thomas has not played since then, and he's got a couple of injuries, they're saying. Highest paid wide receiver in the NFL is just collecting all that money for sitting around. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson, so here's two different players. One of them on his team, Michael Thomas, during practice, who punches him in the face. And then here's a player on another team, the Chicago Bears, Javon Wims, who punched him in the face not once, but twice. So C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he whether... he does things or says things, because with Michael Thomas, it was just something he said during practice. And Michael Thomas didn't like what he said, and he punched him in the face. With Javon Wims, it's what he did to Javon Wims' Bears teammate, Anthony Miller. It's what C.J. Gardner-Johnson did with his fingers, sticking them in the face mask. He pisses people off, clearly. C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And it doesn't matter if you're on his team or not. He'll really piss you off.
So with the Michael Thomas incident, now I'm wondering, did C.J. have his helmet on when Michael Thomas punched him? Because we didn't get to see that one. We just heard about it via the news. But this one we actually saw on television. And it's like, you know, the first time with Michael Thomas, you can say, okay, maybe it was a misunderstanding. You know, Michael Thomas was probably in the wrong. But for two different football players to punch this guy in the face, it's clearly him. He's doing something to attract these punches. He's doing something, whether it's his attitude or his cavalier sarcasm. He's doing something to get punched in the face.
You know, everything I've read about the Michael Thomas practice punch, nowhere have I read whether C.J. Gardner-Johnson had his helmet on or his helmet off. So I can't answer that question for you, Coleman.
I can't, but I was just wondering.
You know, and if you punch somebody who's wearing a football helmet, you have to do it like a bitch slap. You have to do it with an open palm, because if you do it with a closed fist, you'll cut your knuckles.
Oh, yeah, no, his first one was closed fist, and I think he felt it, then the second one was an open palm. Like, when he first did it, you could tell it was out of instinct and anger. He just punched him with a closed fist, and I think it shocked his... You know, he shocked his hand, because the second time he punched him, it was more like a bitch slap, like you were just demonstrating just now. It was an open palm bitch slap. And the guy had a helmet on, so Chauncey was just sitting there like, okay, did you just punch me? Like, you can't feel the effects because you have a whole helmet on.
So that was a good win for the Saints yesterday. Next week, it's going to be much tougher. They travel to Tampa Bay to play Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who it looks like right now, it looks like they're the best team in the division. It looks like Tampa Bay. Because the Saints defense, I mean, even though they got a win yesterday, the Bears offense is either the worst offense in the NFL, the second worst offense in the NFL, or the third worst offense in the NFL. So they're going to be playing a much more high-powered offense next week, and Tampa Bay has a good defense, too.
Yeah. And Antonio Brown's playing with them now, right? Or is that rumors? Or is he practicing with them?
They signed him.
Okay.
He should be back, ready to go next week. And we'll see if Michael Thomas makes his Saints return next week. That's going to be a tougher game next week.
I wonder if AB is going to punch CJ in the next in the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, maybe we should have a contest on the show. Who the next player, who's it going to be that's going to punch CJ Gardner-Johnson, the Saints defensive back, in the face? Will it be one of his own teammates like Michael Thomas? Or will it be an opposing teammate like Javon Wims? And then on Saturday, boy, LSU, how far have LSU fallen from last year? They literally had, and it's you could say arguably, but there are many people, including me, who believe last year's LSU football team, when you look at their offense with Joe Burrow and the numbers they put up, and they had a solid defense, last year LSU's football team might have been the greatest college football team ever. I mean, ever. Any year, you pick the year, you look at the numbers, but how far they have fallen after losing not just Joe Burrow, but more than half their players. LSU went to Auburn, and they got destroyed, 48-11. They've already got three losses this year. And, I mean, you just wonder, I mean, how long winning the national championship will keep Ed Orgeron as coach of LSU. If it's like winning the Super Bowl keeps Sean Payton the coach of the New Orleans Saints, then Ed Orgeron doesn't have anything to worry about for the rest of his life.
Nah. But do you think the effect of, you know, not having a preseason is 2020, it's a shorter season, you think all that counts as far as the effectiveness of, you know, the coaching and preparation?
Well, every team went through the same thing, Coleman. Yeah. Although, you know, with LSU, they did lose so many starters and they lost so many players from last year's team.
Right.
But I mean, to turn on a game on Saturday and to watch that, some people are saying that, you know, because Coach Orgeron just got a divorce recently. And we talked about those pictures that were on the internet with him and that very young blonde. Some people are saying he lost the LSU playbook in the divorce settlement. People are saying that. And their defensive coordinator, Bo Pelini, who makes a couple of million dollars a year, I mean, he and that defense have been god-awful this season.
Concerning the Saints blowing the lead, how do you blow a good lead late in the game? Simple. Paint a falcon on your helmet at halftime and watch the magic happen.
But they didn't do that. You know, if they did that, I would understand more.
I think Atlanta got a win, didn't they? Thursday?
Thursday night, Atlanta did beat Carolina.
Yeah, so they're like 2-suck right now?
Yes. So anyways, it looks like LSU, I guess all you want to see them do is just, I mean, try to get better, and maybe next year they'll come back to relevance. But other than that, that was so disappointing. I mean, the effort. Where the hell is the effort? I can understand you not, you know, losing a lot of players, but you're still LSU. You know, your backups are supposed to be able to start on most other teams in America. So it was just the effort was very disappointing from LSU on Saturday. Coming up next on the show, how about what happened Friday afternoon in the French Quarter? Some guy who's riding on the back of a pedicab just pulled out a gun and opened fire, shot into a windshield, shooting a New Orleans cop in the face. We'll have the latest on that coming up. Oh, I've never seen anything like that before. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you enjoyed your Halloween weekend. Did you see what happened on Friday, the day before Halloween, here in New Orleans? Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a guy is riding on the back of a pedicab in New Orleans. And he's in the French Quarter. And all of a sudden, he pulls out a gun and opens fire into the front windshield of a New Orleans police car. He shot a New Orleans cop in the face. The New Orleans cop that who was shot in the face, the bullet went under his left eye. He got out of the car and he ran around the car, and his partner, who was sitting in the passenger seat, he was hit with broken glass from the windshield when the bullet went through it. And the cop, he's only been on the force for 4 years. He was taken to University Medical Center, and he's going to survive. But they're gonna have to deal with these bullet in his skull. And then the guy who shot him. Remember, he's riding in the back of a pedicab. Have you ever ridden in a pedicab? They're all over the place here in New Orleans. They're those guys on the bicycles, and then they've got the large seat on the back of the bike, and usually it's good for couples. They could sit in the back while the guy, the pedicab driver, is driving his bike. The guy is on the back of a pedicab, and he just pulls out a gun and opens fire into the front windshield of a New Orleans police car, and there were two cops sitting in the front seat. He took off, and this happened right on the corner of St. Philip and Royal streets. It's like not even quite a full block right off of Bourbon Street. Right by the bar, Lafitte Blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's usually just a nice part of town, a nice part of the French Quarter. I know a couple people who live over there in that neighborhood. And then the guy hops out of the pedicab and he starts running away. It only took the New Orleans police a few minutes, just a couple of blocks to find him. They found him over on Decatur Street. And that was on video when they found the guy. He's running down the street with a gun, and he passes some guy who just bought a chainsaw to cut down some trees from to cut up some trees that had gone down during Hurricane Zeta. So the guy who just shot the cop in the face is running towards Decatur Street. When he bumps into this guy who's got a chainsaw in a box, and the guy sees that he's got a gun, and then all of a sudden the guy sees two New Orleans cops right behind him with their guns drawn. The guy with the chainsaw just hit the ground, and the shooter, the perp, hit the ground, and he was arrested without any issues.
Well, actually, I think he did have a medical issue because he was the shooter I'm talking about had to go to University Hospital. So they just released him from university, and then he went straight to jail after that. Apparently, there was some complications, or he had a medical issue with during his arrest. So the cops brought him to the hospital first. Then as soon as they released him from the hospital, now he's in jail now, Mr. Donald Hassel.
Yeah, 44-year-old Donnell Hassel was the guy who was riding in the pedicab, which is usually a really nice experience. And then he just pulls out a gun and opens fire. For what reason? We have, they're saying that it appeared he was mentally ill. Well, you would have to be mentally ill to be in the back of a pedicab in the French Quarter and then pull out a gun and just open fire through the front windshield of a New Orleans police car with two New Orleans police officers sitting in the front seat.
See, this one's kind of weird to me. Like, I don't know if it's premeditated. Usually when somebody takes their aggression out on a police officer, they have it already in their mind. Like, they woke up that morning knowing that they were going to do this. So this guy just seems to have a problem with police, and he just happened to see one and say, screw it, because, you know, if it was a planned assault, you wouldn't hop on a pedicab and do all that. So it just seems like this just randomly happened, like something was going on in his brain. He decided to wake up. Then he says, you know what, I'm going to take the pedicab. It's a nice day. Then he just sees cops. He's like, well, you know what, I'm going to shoot one. It doesn't seem like any of this was premeditated. I think he just lost his, he's just out of his mind, I guess.
But yeah, he's out of his mind. He's severely mentally ill. It's a guy we used to call crazy, a nut, a lunatic. But here in the year 2020, well, you have to take mental illness very seriously. And when the guy has mental health issues, could you imagine being the pedicab driver?
No.
I mean, you're driving a bicycle. The guy's right behind you in a seat on your bike. And he just opened fire into a police car. From what I understand, from what witnesses say, the pedicab driver just stopped the pedicab, and he hopped off and just hit the ground or just took off.
Yeah, he had to run. Because think about it. Let's say you're in a pedicab. Of course, you're pedaling, and you're the pedicab driver or the cycler or whatever you call it. Your first instinct was to be to pedal faster, but you're thinking, wait, if I pedal faster, the guy is still in the cart behind me. So he had to get out of the cart. Because then you'd be an accessory. Because if you try to run while still on a pedicab, then you're taking a criminal with you. You could be an accessory to an attempted murder. So, yeah, he had to get out of the pedicab.
But what a brazen attack in broad daylight. This was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, the day before Halloween. So the French Quarter already had a bunch of people in it. I mean, especially going back the last 9 months because of coronavirus, how hardly anyone's been in there. There were a bunch of people walking around the French Quarter, and this happened. And on the news, I saw a couple of eyewitnesses who were interviewed, and they were shaken up. I mean, they were sitting right there. They were standing right there. And again, this guy he's in the back of a pedicab on St. Philip. It's going down St. Philip Street, and he's right near Royal Street. just off of Bourbon Street. And he just, for whatever reason, did that. We're just lucky that both cops are still alive, and we'll see what happens with the 4-year New Orleans police veteran who ended up with a bullet under his left eye, Officer Trevor Abney. We're thinking about you this morning, man.
You know, we use that term mentally, you know, disturbed, having mental issues, things of that nature. But what bothers me is this guy had the wherewithal to have a gun. He had the wherewithal to conceal it. And then after he committed his act, he had the wherewithal to know to run. You know, so he knew he did something wrong. We could call him whatever we want to, but he had enough wherewithal to do all that and he knew he did something wrong, which is why he ran, because, you know, if you're really that mentally disturbed and you don't know what you're doing, you probably would have stuck around. So he knew better. We can call him whatever we want, mentally challenged or mentally disturbed, whatever, but he knew. He should be held accountable to the full extent of the law, even if he does plead insanity or whatever.
No matter what he pleads, Coleman, this guy should never, ever, ever be out of a cage again for the rest of his life.
Oh, no, he's looking at 50 years per officer. He got 2 counts of attempted murder, so he's looking. That's pretty much life right there.
And we saw the video of him being captured just a few minutes later on Decatur Street, and the cops say he went down and he listened to them. They had both their guns drawn, and then that poor guy with the chainsaw was down right next to him, and then he stayed on the ground, and when the cops finally got the cop shooter in handcuffs, that's when they tapped the guy on the shoulder with the chainsaw. They said, "Hey, you can get up now."
Yeah, and apparently the shooter must have had bad cardio or something, because maybe his heart was beating too fast, because they brought him to the hospital before they brought him to jail. So I'm guessing while he was running from the police or while he was trying to escape. And before he bumped into the guy with the chainsaw, his heart must have gave out on him.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want about the guy being mentally ill. But there's a lot of people who are mentally ill that don't open fire on police cars, shooting a police officer in the face.
And think about the selflessness of the police officer. They just captured a guy who just shot one of their own in the face. They knew this guy was armed and dangerous, yet they still had the professionalism to bring him to the hospital first to see about him, to make sure he was okay before they brought him straight to jail. Because the cop could have easily just brought him straight to jail and nobody even would have questioned
him. Cop could have easily just shot him right there on the street, kicked him in the face.
But they did the right thing. Even though this guy just shot a police officer, they still did the professional thing, brought him to the hospital, made sure he was okay, and then brought him to jail.
Yeah. But look, you know, stop with the mental illness stuff. Yeah, the guy, anybody is mentally ill who, for no reason that we know of, he wasn't confronted, he wasn't provoked. He just, he's riding the back of a pedicab, and he just pulled the gun out and opened fire into the front windshield of a New Orleans police car where 2 cops were sitting in the front seats, and they were parked right there at Royal and St. Philip. Boy, oh boy. This 44-year-old cop shooter should never see the light of day again. All right. Coming up on the show, tomorrow is election day, and they're already saying that we're not going to know tomorrow night. There are some cities where they're saying they're not going to get their mail-in ballots back until after Election Day and Election Night. I mean, how long is this going to take? And there are other cities in America who have more police out because they're saying they're expecting unrest. What's going to be worse? I mean, for cities when it comes to riots and unrest, if Trump wins 4 more years or if Biden wins, stay tuned. For that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So I got a few trick-or-treaters on Saturday night. I opened the door one time after the doorbell rang, and there was a kid by himself, a little kid. He was just laying on my front stoop. And I said, who are you supposed to be? And he looked up and he said, Jeffrey Toobin's career. That's the CNN legal analyst who's been suspended from the New Yorker magazine where he works because he, during a Zoom meeting, he whipped it out. And not only just whipped it out, he pleasured himself. Now, he later said that he thought he had turned the camera off, but man, I think that kid was right. I think that costume was right. Who could you imagine ever seeing him again anywhere on television, on CNN? Some big legal case comes up. Here's our legal analyst, Jeffrey Toobin. The first thing everybody's going to think of, oh, that's the guy that whips it out during Zoom meetings and he pleasures himself. About some of these kids paying attention to the news of some trick-or-treaters I got this past weekend.
They're growing up fast, John.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Coleman McDonald's made a big announcement the other day, and it's got some people really, really fired up. They tweeted out that on their menu, starting on December 2nd, 1 month from today, the McRib sandwich is coming back for the first time in 8 years. This is the first time in 8 years since 2012 that the McRib is going to be available nationwide at all of McDonald's over 14,000 United States restaurants.
It's funny. I probably haven't been to McDonald's in 8 years.
you're not a big... Well, I was going to ask you, are you a fan of the McRib?
But yes, obviously, I'm definitely a fan of the McRib. We just haven't been at 8 years.
The McRib, according to the vice president of menu innovation at McDonald's, quote, has been a beloved menu item at McDonald's since its inception nearly 40 years ago. So almost 40 years ago, the McRib came out, and it was one of those things that it would show up at McDonald's for a little while, and then it would disappear.
Yeah, they call that LTOs, limited time offers.
The sandwich features seasoned boneless pork with a smoky, tangy barbecue sauce, plus sliced pickles and slivered onions on a seeded bun. So it's not actually a rib. It's the McRib. Although it does have some seasoned boneless pork in there.
I'm salivating right now. You ready to say it again? What's the ingredients in it? I got to hear it all over. I can smell it.
That's enough. So December 2nd, I saw some people, some of my Facebook friends, losing it over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
When McDonald's announced this, they're like, hey, what are you doing? Somebody asked me, hey, what are you doing December 2nd? I said, what's today? He said, it's Halloween. I said, I don't know what I'm doing December 2nd. What are you doing? He said, hey, I'm going to McDonald's. The McRib is going to be back. You want to go? Where's my calendar? Maybe I'll put that on my calendar.
I would definitely be in line.
So, Coleman, I would think as you're like me, you're a single dude. I would think that you would frequent McDonald's more than you evidently do.
Well, no. Where I live at, I have Wendy's, Popeyes, and churches. So for me to go to McDonald's, it would go out my way. But for a McRib, I would go out of my way. See, it has nothing to do with me not liking McDonald's. I love McDonald's. It's just that I have to make a turn when I don't want to, when there's a Wendy's, Popeyes, and churches right by my house. I could just go straight without having to make a turn. It's really a convenience issue.
So for you, it's that there are other fast food options closer to where you
live. Right. So it has nothing to do with me not. I love McDonald's. I just don't like to make a left.
I wonder why they wouldn't put McRib on the menu permanently.
That's what Thank you. That and why not make breakfast 24/7?
Well, they did that for a little while, and then they just pulled back on that.
What, the breakfast 24/7?
Yeah, you used to be able to get breakfast up until recently. Remember for the last couple of years they didn't have the complete breakfast menu during the day, but they had, I guess, their most popular breakfast menu items available during the day. And that was cool. You didn't have to race to get there before 10:30 or whenever if you still wanted breakfast.
Any word about the ice cream machine, though?
No, although there is a website up, and it's I shared this on the Bayou Facebook page last week. There is a website up that tracks the broken ice cream machines at McDonald's, and you can go onto that website, and it'll tell you if the ice cream machine at your nearest local McDonald's is broken or not.
Cool. So basically all of them.
That was brilliant. It was genius, whoever came up with that idea for that website. But anyways, the big news, 1 month from today, the McRib is returning to all McDonald's restaurants in America for a limited time only. And did you know that there were how many McDonald's in the United States of America? A little over 14,000?
Did not know that.
Did you know that? And even though in the past 8 years, at some of those different McDonald's, the McRib has popped up and it's raised its porky head. This is the first time in 8 years, in 2012, that every McDonald's is going to have the McRib sandwich, and we'll see if your ice cream machine is working at that time.
Cool, can't wait.
If you want to add on a little ice cream with your McRib. Hey, coming up next, since tomorrow is election day and election night, they're already saying we're probably, they're going to be counting mail-in votes the day after, and maybe even 2 days after election day. In some cities, there are police, extra police that are going to be on because they're expecting unrest. And I've seen video of businesses boarding up for election day. Really?
They didn't even do that for the hurricanes.
Stay tuned. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Tomorrow is election day. And by the way, around 90 million Americans have already voted. That is something. I don't think in our lifetimes we've seen this many people vote before election day. What does that tell you?
A few things. One, there are a lot of people who still aren't at work because the economy is in back to full potential, so they have a lot more free time to early vote. Because most people who do engage in early voting, they have the free time to do so, and most people have to work a normal job. That's why they have to wait until election day. So that's the first thing it tells me, too. A lot of people are excited about putting their votes in. They're really excited about whichever candidate they choose to vote for.
Let me ask you something, Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the around 90 million Americans who have already voted before Election Day, who do you think more of them have voted for?
If I had to guess, like I said, just based on the size of rallies and excitement, I think the majority of the people who early vote would be right supportive.
You think?
Trump. Yeah.
See, I think the other way.
You think so?
I think that because so many people despise Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
that they're the ones who are going out early to make sure that they get their vote in. And look, I know his rallies, a lot of people show up. I don't know if that is going to translate, if that means more people are excited to vote for him.
I think it definitely translates to that. These rallies, they're in specific towns and cities, and people are coming from all the way out of town just to go to a Trump rally. They're waiting to wait in lines, long lines for a Trump rally, so that means they can probably wait in longer lines to early vote, because the early voting lines have been long, too, like hours, and they just seem to have more of an excitement. Trump supporters seem to have more excitement. They already prepared for it. They can't wait to vote. They want an early vote. Plus, they want to go in and vote, too, because they don't necessarily trust the mail-in process. So they are more inclined to go actually physically go out and vote. So I think the large excitement for the vote does benefit Trump more than it does Biden. That's just my opinion. We'll see.
Well, I will agree that that I think Trump voters wouldn't tell the pollsters who they're voting for.
Yeah, they're more inclined to not even cooperate with any polls.
That's what I'm thinking, because, you know, Trump, when he got in this 4 years ago, he got in it, and the reason he did so well is because he was the only non-politician. I mean, he went through those 14 or 15 Republican politicians. Many of them had huge names. He went through them, and then he beat Hillary Clinton, even though in the days leading up to the election, every poll said it was going to be a landslide, actually. Mm-hmm. Every poll said Hillary Clinton was up by a minimum of 5, 6, 7 points. And it just didn't work out. I remember election day and election night 4 years ago. Remember, this is before coronavirus. This is, I had plans to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it was early evening, and I said, I'm just going to throw on the election night results, because I'm thinking, like a lot of people were thinking, why even watch this if you paid attention to this leading up to tonight? Everybody's telling us that Hillary Clinton's going to win and win big. And then the states started coming back. Trump this state, Trump that state, and then Trump won this state, and then Trump. I ended up not going out that night because I was just transfixed to the television. I said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. How could the quote-unquote experts have gotten this so wrong?
Well, you said it earlier. Most people who did support Trump weren't inclined to necessarily tell people because they were either afraid of the backlash or the ridicule or the insults, or they just didn't want you to know. This text says, Coleman, you are so wrong, brother. I'm sorry for you. You don't have to be sorry for me. That's just my opinion. I think the excitement for early voting supports Trump more than Biden. There's nothing to be
sorry for. Yeah, look, you don't have to feel sorry for Coleman because he might be wrong. I mean, he's been wrong on other things, and I don't feel sorry for him.
Dude, I'm wrong 90% of the time in life. So there's no reason to feel sorry for me. It's just my opinion.
So with tomorrow being election day, I've already read in a few different places that the mail-in votes in different cities, I read Philadelphia and other cities, they're not expecting to have the mail-in results ready to be tabulated tomorrow night, by tomorrow night. That could last, I don't know, I mean, easily through Wednesday, maybe Thursday as well.
Do you buy into the conspiracy that's by design? Like, part of the reason of the mail-in ballots and why they were pushed so hard is so they can have some sort of contestable outcome. Like, wait, these mail-in votes need to come in before, you know, whoever, we can announce a real true winner or whatever.
I don't know. I try not to believe in conspiracy theories, but they're flying all over the place now. And I've also read in different cities and different towns all across America that they're going to have more police officers. The ones that haven't stopped paying the cops yet, the ones that haven't defunded the police yet, they're going to have more police officers working because they're expecting unrest on election night tomorrow night. And I've seen pictures in different cities of buildings, businesses being boarded up for election night. You know, we've lost our way as a country if you have to board up your business for election night. Because one of the great things about our country, and we're the greatest country in the world, I know we're not perfect, but one of the greatest things about our country is that every 4 years we can have an election, and then if there is a transfer of power, we do it peacefully. That's what separates us from some of these other...
So you don't remember
God awful countries.
You don't remember what happened to Baltimore 4 years ago when Trump won, and how they rioted in the streets. They started burning businesses down. So I mean, it is there. But my theory is, it doesn't matter who wins, there will be a riot somewhere, because I don't think the rioters really care about the results of the election. I think they just want to burn something down. I think their ride is set and ready to go, and they're going to use this election to burn something down, burn a business, and loot, only because they just want to cause chaos and anarchy. I don't think it has anything to do with election results, because most people who actually stand in line to vote for their candidate, they're not going to go vote, you know, for their candidate, then later on put a mask on and have a Molotov cocktail ready to go just because their vote didn't go the way they wanted to. You know, like, I voted for this guy. He didn't win, so now I got to burn down his business. I don't think the people who are actually riding are actually going to take the time and go vote themselves. Because if you take the time to go vote, that means you should be a model type citizen. You actually took the time to go vote. So why would you burn down a building or start a riot just because you felt like you lost?
Yeah, but when I saw businesses being boarded up for election night, I'm thinking to myself, what happened? And how did we get to this point right here? Well, look, I don't know when we're going to have an answer. I mean, I would hope we're going to have an answer tomorrow night, but I don't think we're going to have an answer tomorrow night. And if we don't have an answer tomorrow night, I would hope there's going to be one soon after tomorrow night. I mean, I just remember the longest one in our lifetimes, recent history, was 2000. Was George W. Bush against Al Gore?
Yeah,
that went on for that went on for a while after Election Day because of Florida and the voting machines. Yeah, with the hanging, dangling chads and the senior citizens, and they didn't know what the hell was going on.
Also expect, no matter who wins, the election results will be contested by either party, the opposite party of whoever wins. So that's going to happen too. Whether Biden or Trump wins, the opposite party will say, well, no, we just found these mail-in ballots in the back of this crate somewhere that didn't make it, or there's going to be something. Or maybe these machines over here didn't work too well. There was a glitch in the matrix. They're going to find some reason to contest the results of the election.
Well, if you want to text us, who do you think is going to win tomorrow night? I mean, the odds, even if you were going to legally bet on this, the odds are heavily, heavily on Joe Biden's side. Meaning if you're going to bet $100 that Joe Biden's going to win, you know, you'd make a little bit more than $100. If you were going to bet $100 that Donald Trump was going to win, you would make much more than $100. That's what the odds are saying right now. We'll see what happens. But who do you think is going to win? Text us, 504-260-9595. And do you think there's going to be unrest? Do you think some of these businesses need to be boarded up? What the hell happened on election night? Really? Text us. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. And if your text is good and adds to the show, we'll read it coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station, with election day being tomorrow. And over 90 million Americans have already voted before Election Day, breaking records. I asked you to text us, who do you think is going to win?
This first text says Trump. He thinks it's going to be 56%. Tony says, I hate polls. They're only good as the people taking them, and I've never polled. And then he also says Trump 2020. This one says, if the election was done by popular vote instead of an electoral vote, Biden wins in a landslide. That's from MAD.
But we need the Electoral College, because if we didn't have the Electoral College, then the people from California, New York, Texas, and Florida would control who's president of the United States for the other 46 states.
All right. This text says, Coleman is right. I early voted to make sure Trump vote is in, and yes, there will be riots. We've all missed letters and packages in the mail, so the mail can't be trusted. Troy says, I'm 51 years old and I've never voted, but I registered this year and voted for Trump because I feel like my freedom is on the line. So, yeah, based on our text messages, it seems that the people who are early voting tend to lean towards Trump instead of Biden, but...
Well, I think if you look at our audience who listens to this radio station and this radio show, I think it's safe to say the majority of listeners be Donald Trump fans. I mean, Louisiana, I mean, I know we're in New Orleans, which is a blue city, but the suburbs and the rest of Louisiana, the majority of it is it's a red state.
But then the question also comes, like, since there was a majority of people that early voted, would that affect the number of people that's actually going to vote the day of? Because since they have such a large turnout for early voting, that might mean when it comes to the regular day, not that many people are going to show up as record numbers. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're going to have a record numbers of actual day voting, you know?
Well, you figure about one third of the American voters have voted before Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need the other two thirds to vote.
Cool.
Thank you for your texts. We appreciate it. And we will see what happens tomorrow. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning, and it's an update on a story that we did on the dumbest thing I read all morning.
So we have a dumb update.
We have a dumb update.
Wow.
Yeah, because something else has happened in this story. This story has gone someplace else now.
Okay.
Stay tuned for where next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Before we do the dumbest thing I read all morning, and we don't have time for our whole See Who Died feature, but Sean Connery, talk about a legend, he died over the weekend at 90 years old. Sean Connery, many people say the best James Bond in all the movies, and I would not disagree with that. He was in a lot of other great movies, too. The Untouchables, I thought he was absolutely fantastic. And he's born in Wales, and did you know in 1953 he came in third in the world for the Mr. Universe contest?
I did not know that.
And he said, "I'll be a thespian." He said that after. But RIP. And I saw one of my Facebook friends said, "Oh, no. 2020, you suck. Really, Sean Connery?" Look, he was 90. I don't know if you can blame this one on 2020. But RIP Sean Connery, a true legend. Well, it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this is a follow-up to a story we did on the dumbest thing I read all morning a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember the story of the woman who got on an airplane in Las Vegas? She was flying to Detroit, and she woke up because someone was standing there peeing on her?
Yeah.
She was urinated on? Well, this story has gone to another level. Detroit woman is now suing the North Carolina pastor who peed on her on the Delta flight from Las Vegas to Detroit. It's a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Her name is Alicia Beverly. She's 25 years old, and she's suing this pastor from North Carolina for $2 million. You think this pastor's got $2 million?
Cha-ching.
What does she think she's going to get off this guy? You know who her lawyer is, the lawyer that she hired? She hired a lawyer named Jeffrey Feiger. He's the brother of the guy who was the singer for the band The Knack, Doug Feiger.
Okay.
My Sharona.
What?
That's his brother. He's a famous lawyer. His name's Jeffrey Feiger. And they are now suing the pastor from Raleigh, North Carolina, and the church he works with for over $2 million after he peed on her while she was asleep on that Delta flight.
Are you reading that from The Onion?
No, this is...
Is that the Dead Pelican?
No, I've got the Detroit News.
Wow. So you mean to tell me this series of events led to the woman hiring the brother of a rock? Whoa, I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, and at first, and we told this story last week, at first, when the story broke a couple of weeks ago, when we first brought it up on the dumbest thing I read all morning, I mean, what's dumber than a woman sleeping on an airplane mid-flight, and she is woken up by a man standing over her, peeing on her? But then all they said was it was a pastor from North Carolina. And evidently, some churchgoers in North Carolina were out accusing their pastor, saying, hey, was that you who peed on that woman? I read the story. And so pastors were coming out saying, it wasn't me. I can prove I was here in North Carolina. And then they finally named the pastor a week ago. And he is in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. That's where he is. And now he is being sued along with the church that he works at, the church that he works for over $2 million by the woman who was urinated on, 25-year-old Alicia Beverly, and her big-time attorney, Jeffrey Feiger, who was the brother of the lead singer of the band The Knack, My Sharona.
If I was the pastor, I would say, you seen me riding coach with you. If I had $2 million, I would have peed in first class.
It's a good point.
He doesn't have $2 million.
I mean, how many people get sued for millions of dollars like this by people, and the people are just wasting their time? Because, I mean, even if they win the lawsuit, if someone doesn't have $2 million, what are they supposed to do? Well, anyways, there's a follow-up. The poor woman from Detroit who was peed on while she was sleeping on her flight back to Detroit from Las Vegas by a North Carolina pastor. She is now suing that pastor and the church he works for over $2 million. Well, again this morning, this is the dumbest thing I read all morning. And if you don't remember, the pastor blamed some sort of pills that he was taking for medical reasons. Never seen that as a side effect, peeing on people sleeping on an airplane. But here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.